Welcome to Auroville Radio. Today we have with us Unlimited Tamil Nadu. If you could please introduce yourselves and tell us how you are associated to Unlimited Tamil Nadu.
Hi, I'm Victor. I'm head of operations at Unlimited.
Hi, Shivai here. I'm heading incubation program at Unlimited.
Hello, my name is Gijs, I started Unlimited 4 years ago. So the vision that we had 4 years ago was to form a social innovation hub. So we believe that Auroville is naturally positioned as a hub for social innovation, not just for Auroville and the villages directly around it, but actually for all of Tamil Nadu. People come here expecting the unexpectable and living, out of the ordinary, trying things out. A lot is possible here that's not possible in the mainstream. So we wanted to support unreasonable, exceptional people in a systematic way, in a professional way. And for that, we organize trainings and coaching. And yesterday, on the 16th, we had a peer learning session and we had an evaluation. Every year, we select around 15 to 20 projects. And some of them shared their experiences and what worked and what didn't work. And what I remember out of that is that a lot of people said that besides all the professional support like coaching and training and whatnot, a peer-to-peer connection and a sense of community is really critical for them. So if you imagine you're in some town in Tamil Nadu and you take up arms against exploitation and social injustice, chances are that you're going to be pretty lonely. And everybody will think that you're crazy, and your family will say, don't do it. And it's more difficult to get married, find a girlfriend, get a house, stuff that matters. So if you find other people that are also on this track, it can be very, very, very supportive. And then you can help each other laugh about it and get unstuck. This is a phrase we like to use. So I think from my side, at least, what my main takeaway was, we kind of knew, we expected this would be important, but it was great to hear it from the mouth of the people who matter, so these social startup founders.
So on 16th March is very, very important for us in terms of understanding our own support to our fellows or investees. Every year, as Kai said, every year we support 15 to 20 social entrepreneurs across the state. At the same time, this kind of programs gives us the clear picture about what exactly we have done and what kind of impact which created on the entrepreneurs and their allies. So, and their allies and key stakeholders, that's something important. And for me, it's very important key takeaway from that program was how do we build the community of social entrepreneurs and establishing a family-based relationship between one another as well as between one another among the investees or fellows as well as the incubator. So whenever they see, whenever I'm coming here, I feel my extended family. So the family-based support, we always feel that entrepreneurs are not alone and always feel that there is a collective action has to be taken on any social issues or social injustice. So I personally felt that we are moving on the right track in terms of building the community of social change makers towards positive change in the society.
In terms of my perspective of this event we had last Wednesday, I think it's these habits that are important to build in. Like Gijs mentioned, we're a startup, we're 4 years old, and one of the basic principles of being a startup is iteration. So constantly testing, getting feedback from the market, so in that case, our social entrepreneurs, and then, adapting our offer based on this. So whenever, and we build these sort of feedback loops in all of our processes, and this was a feedback loop on our incubation program, so it's a it's a key process. And then in terms of the feedback that we did get, as Chais and Shiva mentioned, this sense of community is, I feel, much more important now that we are sort of diversifying our investees, the entrepreneurs that we support. So when we started, I'd say like 80% of our entrepreneurs were Auravillian. And in Auraville, there's a good knowledge of social innovation, sustainability, and it's a hub for this kind of, you know, experimentation. But then we're also catering to Tamil audiences who are not familiar with social entrepreneurship. So in that case, bringing this awareness and bringing them on board and then ensuring that they have a support network is an important process. So this feedback we'll build in more in our program going forward.
Could you substantiate some of this positive feedback with examples of projects that you might have invested in recently? And maybe briefly just tell us a bit about some of them, or even one of them, if you want to just give an example of what kind of work you've been doing.
There were around 5 presentations. And out of that, all of them were from the bioregions of Auraville. And one is like a Srushti village. Srushti village is trying to establish inclusive, sustainable, eco-friendly village for persons with disability and marginalized. So that project, when he was sharing about his whole experience with Unlimited Tamil Nadu, because he's in the level 2, and he said the word of the person-focused support which we offer, it's very, very unique in us. You know, we always have this parallel journey, person and the venture. We always strongly believe that the entrepreneurs, the one is very important. Even this idea which they bring, the venture which they bring, even if it is failed, it's okay. If you build the person, if the person is strong enough to tackle this whole issue, then he can come up with better solutions and he can modify or reiterate this whole process and come up with the new ideas and change the come up with a better solution for the issue which he cares about. And that's what when he founded, that's a core, one of the core idea what we had. And exactly he translated in a different angle and said, I personally feel that this incubation support for this 2 years has given that feel, and for me having as a family who's getting always the personal support on par with the venture support. So that's something very unique. And the second level of feedback which we receive, so as Victor said, we get a lot of grassroots rural entrepreneurs. They don't have the confidence to speak in a public forum where they can really express what they really feel about this whole process. And the first time we realized that Kumari and Shivalingam, they tried to speak in English, and whatever they felt, and then they expressed in English, and then we were struggling a bit in terms of language. I was a bit hesitant to translate the whole thing. And then he said, okay, I'll translate by myself. And then came and said, that kind of confidence which we build in on the entrepreneurs is very important. So that's something is very, very positive indicator for us to move ahead with reaching out to the more local, rural-based, grassroots-based social entrepreneurs are the key the element of this whole process.
I remember another example. So there's one women's group, they make spirulina, and in the recent floods, they lost a lot of their spirulina because it's in an open water tank that you're producing the spirulina, so it all washed away. And they lost, 60,000 rupees worth
of... Yeah, 70,000 worth of complete materials.
Yeah, which is basically their livelihood, washed away. And what they said that they really appreciated was at that time Shiva and Revati, they went there and they did like exercise with the team to boost their morale. And every time after that that we met them, they were so grateful. yeah, they were still talking about how important that was. Just, you know, even if we didn't have 70,000 rupees to, you know, put in their bank account, but just boosting their spirits,
increasing the resilience capacity of the families, individuals, and communities, and standing there as a moral support, it's very important. And what it's like meant to us is like their resilience capacities. Now, like any disaster comes, like we know like how to handle it.
Mm.
At the same time, we know that like there are the people who can support us. We don't need to like give up or like we don't need to feel bad or sad for what happened to us. So that kind of the community resilience, it's very, very important. That's what like we learned from the particular venture experience.
I think also in terms of us being an incubator, one thing which we aim for is not just to support the ventures or the entrepreneur, but in sort of like a one-way fashion, but to build a whole ecosystem of support. So a success for us is when we see that we've successfully built a community of support, and the support is actually decentralized from the incubator to investees, so like investee will support each other without us interfering in that relationship. And in that case, we've had instances of this. For instance, Kartik, the entrepreneur who has this village for inclusive village for people with disabilities, he got support from Shivalingam and Kumari on how to do the organic farming. We have another investee, the Spirulina investee. He has good contacts with the education, so in the education sector. So he helped another investee with that. So instances of this direct, you know, support, community support, without going through us, this is also a big success.
So there are a lot of connotations in Oroville that are attached to words like business, market, entrepreneurship, and maybe they are arbitrary connotations, but they exist nevertheless. So in that sense, do you feel that there's a disconnect in Oroville in understanding perhaps what Unlimited Tamil Nadu stands for? Have you experienced difficulties in this sphere?
So as an Orovillian, let me answer that. It's true that often people in Oroville, they say, you know, what you guys are doing, we don't know what, you know, what is Unlimited Tamil Nadu and why do you exist and why is it necessary?
Unlimited Tamil Nadu.
And why is it not Unlimited Oroville? And, you know, you should spend more time. You know, we have other issues than supporting people in like Chennai and Coimbatore and whatnot. So first of all, I think I have a different idea about community. So I think that Oroville is actually too small to sustain a viable social entrepreneur ecosystem. Yeah, if we look at the number of startups that are focusing on changing something substantial, you know, not just selling something to make a living, but changing, say, the waste system, like, you know, wasteless or upcycling or EcoFam, or, you know, how many startups are founded every year? Maybe 2-3. If you want to have a group that is supporting each other, you need some economy of scale. You need at least 20, 30. So just the numbers show that it's not possible to run Unlimited Oroville. Second of all, I believe that it would be a big mistake to, you know, create this even more of a bubble identity in and directly around Oroville, disconnected from the rest of the state. We're in the same society, we drink the same water, we eat the same food. We are already connected, even if we'd like to ignore it. So I think maybe what, from our side, what you know, what we haven't been doing is we haven't been sharing back, you know, with the community, hey, this is what we did, you know, in Tindivanam and in Viluparam and so forth. And, you know, one of the events that we did on the 16th after this annual review was actually that. We organized tea time at Eli Nyarkar School, where you also came. And, you know, we intend to do more of that, you know, sharing back to the community, explaining this is what we're doing out there, even if you don't see it, because we, you know, our activities are mainly focused outside of Orzo. It's not that we don't care, we don't want to share. Now, when you say about the idea that exists in Orville around business and marketing and, you know, commercial, you know, being commercial, I think they're very contrasting ideas. Now, on the one hand, there's this ideal of there should be a money-free economy and an in-kind exchange and so forth. On the other hand, there's also a very direct need for money for the city services. So people want, you know, income-generating activities, and they want to see that money coming in to pay for the schools and the healthcare and the education and the whatnot. So I think actually we are inside Orville, we're a little stuck in that conversation. There are some interesting things happening, I think, with, for example, the Integral Entrepreneurship Lab. So this is a group of entrepreneurs that is meeting both with the Orville Board of Commerce as well as the Orville Board of Services and saying, hey, aren't we actually doing kind of the same thing? We're all just running projects. Some of them have a surplus at the end of the year, some of them don't. But there's no real need for this this silo thinking. And I think Orville is missing the boat completely on this. If you look at the UK, you look at France, you look at even in the US, you have various legal options for different degrees of social goals in the organization. You know, you can be a benefit corporation in the US, you can be a social company in the UK and in France. In India also we got this, what's called Section 8 company. So outside of Orville, there seems to be more legal innovation and institutional innovation around things like hybrid structures. We incubated one venture, Ecofem. They have a hybrid, and still the Orville, you know, powers that be don't get it. Yeah. So the BCC is saying, oh, you should, you know, you should give 33% of your net surplus to Orville. And Ecofem is saying, well, actually, the reason why we started the unit was to support our nonprofit education work. So yeah, after we have spent on the education work, if there's anything left, we will give it to Orville. And then BCC is, no, you've got this unit, you should give it to Orville. So in some way, actually, Orville is competing with the potential social impact that its own units could have on the outside world, which I don't think is really what we want to be doing. But it's, as why I see it, it's just old-fashioned thinking. And we have a risk of missing the boat.
Do you have any plans in attracting, say, the youth of Orville, and now that it's Unlimited Tamil Nadu, say, people from villages around over here? And is there any specific program that you have apart from an internship program? And if you could just talk a little about that. Yeah.
Thank you for asking this question. We specifically, last September, we have designed a program called Pre-Incubation Program. This program is meant for youth in the age group of 16 to 28 who are like looking for alternate career options in the area of social entrepreneurship. We came up with this idea of pre-incubation program. It's a action learning journey. Like they can come and work with early stage social entrepreneurs on the ground, as well as they can learn all kind of business skills in house. And that's like a 6-month program which we designed. Really see and understand like a lot of other units also is emerging in Orville. Like Orville recently launched like Palam project, which tapping into all the bioregional village youth, as well as like the Orville Youth Link, it came up recently, and they are also closely working with Orville youth, and they are also trying to include bioregional youth and ashram youth. So there is a kind of the trend which is emerging towards young people and treating them as a social change agents. That's something, it's very, very interesting and a motivating factor for us, who thinks the young people are the pipeline change agents for this kind of program. It's something, it's very, very positive sign. And we are happy to take this scenario forward. At the same time, we were thinking about how do we have a match. Like a lot of honorable units also keep saying that there is a lot of need for skilled individuals. There is a lot of need for skilled human resources, and there is no people. And we have enough money or kind of resources which we can offer to the young people, but the skill is not there. And we keep saying that there is enough people around us, but they don't have a space to test and experiment their own skill set and come up. And we were thinking that we can associate with a few other organizations who work with young people of this region. Then we can have maybe skill mela or kind of matchmaking event. The young people can come and express or present their own skill set, and then all the units who thinks that need a people, they can come and pick the people. It's a kind of matchmaking event which we really like to do it.
But where can people access information about these programs and how to engage with Unlimited Tamil Nadu? Mm-hmm. Is there, as in what is your information base in the that
specific
sense?
Pre-incubation programs available in our site with limited information with the contact details. If they want to learn more about the particular program, there is a contact details which they can access, www.unlimitedtamilnadu.org, then where they can find the information. And when we launched this whole program, there is a article which published in the Hindu News Daily in Tamil Nadu version as a whole in Metro Plus, as well as in Pondicherry version in Pacific, and it's published here. And also we did a quite good scouting program locally. We've made a posters out across the major places in Oroville. So this program, again, we are trying to relaunch again in the month of September, and the pre-selection and all may happens in the month of June. So young people who are looking for alternate career options can go to Unlimited site and find our contact details and reach out to us.
Right. If now that you had a vision that was 4 years ago and we've been discussing that, if you could briefly tell me, maybe summarize a vision that you have for Unlimited Tamil Nadu over the next few years, and where you'd like to see yourself, and do you see yourself moving towards that right now?
Yeah, so I think right now one of our big challenges is, we are part of a network of Unlimited. There's an Unlimited in Bombay, Delhi, coming up in Bangalore, there's one in Hyderabad, and we are the only one who is not in a big city. You know, Oroville might like to be a big city at one point in the future, but right now, it's really a village. We are at a disadvantage when it comes to fundraising and corporate relationships and so forth. So our core challenge right now is money. We work with early stage social impact projects that are not going to bring in any money anytime soon. So my vision for 4 years from now, it would be that we would have figured out some kind of a model to earn a living for ourselves. We're trying out different things right now with doing some leadership trainings, doing some consulting for other organizations, using the skills and the knowledge that we have. So 4 years from now, we will have cracked that, or we will not exist. Basically, it's like a go, no-go situation. The other thing, I think what's important for us and what we're slowly moving towards is more long-term staff. So in the beginning, we were completely relying on interns who were here for 4 months, 5 months. And in reality, it meant that we had to reset everything after every 6 to 8 months, because a new group of people. So yeah, 4 years from now, we will have more people like Victor and Shiva, and you know, we're moving towards a more
sustainable model.
Sustainable, yeah, at least in terms of management capacity. You know, it's not just me because I happened to be the founder.
founder. Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll have more professional management systems. Mm. This is Victor's expertise. Right? We should talk to him about this.
I was going to say, I think we should... So far we've been exploring virtual coaching, because we've had investees who are outstation, and then so whenever we have events or workshops happening in Oroville, because we're based in Oroville, it's challenging for them to travel, you know, all the way and back. So we launched this online course, this e-learning. So that's something we'd like to explore more, how we could expand on this, build in, you know, Tamil content, so that we can also keep incubating Tamil entrepreneurs. And then eventually setting up regional offices in Chennai, Madurai, Coimbatore, and key cities, where we would be building mini ecosystems over there.
Yeah, exactly. I asked, like, 4 years down the line, I would really, really like to see, we have a office in Chennai, one permanent office in Chennai where, like, entrepreneurs from across the state can easily access and get enough support. And the other model which I would like to really, really see in our organization is some kind of hybrid sustainable model for venture as well as the incubator. So incubator always has a third party for impact. So someone is creating an impact and that's by for someone else out there, and we building the change makers. So then change makers are the one who's creating. So we don't, like, whenever we approach any of the investors or donors or anyone, they always say, instead of investing or donating to you, I can donate to the entrepreneurs, like some kind of, so there is no clear-cut sustainable model for social incubators. So I would really, really like to see some kind of investment model, the clear investment model for social incubator, where you can sustain your programs in a non-donor model. So that's one thing I would really, really like to see. And as Kais and Victor said, we need to have a kind of knowledge-based resources, in-house resources, to cater or support large scale. Down 5 years down the line, I really like to see 100 social entrepreneurs. We want to and the 100 social entrepreneurs they are in all across the Tamil Nadu, and see they are the key people for Unlimited, and keep spreading word of the change across the state.
That's one thing we're going to do 4 years from now is a bus yatra across Tamil Nadu, visiting all our alumni social startups. You have the Jagrita Yatra, does it by train. We don't need the train, but for the bus yatra, 10 days or something.
Kanyakumari is
with 100 people.
Okay, thank you so much. I wish you lots of luck. And I guess we can do this interview 4 years later.
Sounds
and
good.
Evaluate, go back and see if everything that we said was achieved. And I think it might be.
Absolutely.
So thank you for talking to Oroville Radio today. And yeah.
Thank you.